ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we're continuing our reading from the 10th canto. This is chapter 3. Today's text is 11. Savishvayot pula vilochana harim. Sutang vilokyana kadundabhistada. Is that the right one? That was yesterday's, yes. I was wondering what's happening here. So we're on 12. Sorry. You have 12? 12. Let me just make sure. Yeah, okay, 12. Okay. Atay namasto avatarya purusham parang natanga kritadhi kritanjalihi sarochisha bharata sutika griham virochayantangatabhi prabhavavit Atay namasto davadharya purusham parang natanga kritati kritanjalihi sarochisha bharata sutika griham virochayantangatabhi prabhavavit Atay namasto davadharya purusham parang natanga kritadhi kritanjalihi sarochisha bharata sutika griham virochayantangatabhi prabhavavit Please chant. Atay namasto davadharya purusham parang natanga kritadhi kritkanjalihi sarochisha bharata sutika griham virochayantangatabhi prabhavavit Atay namasto davadharya purusham parang natanga kritadhi kritanjalihi sarochisha bharata sutika griham virochayantangatabhi prabhavavit Atay namasto davadharya purusham parang natanga kritadhi kritanjalihi sarochisha bharata sutika griham virochayantangatabhi prabhavavit Vaishnavis? Atay namasto davadharya purusham parang natanga kritadhi kritanjalihi Sarochisha Bharata Sutika Griham Virochayantangatabhi Prabhavavit Atai Namastod Avadhaya Purusham Parangnatanga Kritadi Kritanjali Sarochisha Bharata Sutika Griham Virochayantangatabhi Prabhavavit Okay, synonyms. Atha, thereafter. Enam, to the child. Astaut, offered prayers. Avadharya, understanding surely that the child was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purusham, the Supreme Person. Param, transcendental. Nata angaha, falling down. Pritadi, with concentrated attention. Krita anjalihi, with folded hands. Sarochisha, by the brilliance of his personal beauty. Bharata, O Maharaj Parikshit, descendant of Maharaj Bharata. Sutika Griham, the place where the Lord was born. Virochayantam, illuminating all around. Gatabihi, all his fear disappeared. Prabhavavit, he could now understand the influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. O Maharaj Parikshit, descendant of King Bharata, Vasudeva could understand that this child was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. Having concluded this without a doubt, he became fearless. Bowing down with folded hands and concentrating his attention, he began to offer prayers to the child who illuminated his birthplace by his natural effulgence. Please repeat, O Maharaj Parikshit, descendant of King Bharata, Vasudeva could understand that this child was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. Having concluded this without a doubt, he became fearless. Bowing down with folded hands and concentrating his attention, he began to offer prayers to the child who illuminated his birthplace by his natural effulgence. Srila Prabhupada's purport, I think this one is kind of short in comparison to the rest of this chapter so far. Yes, it's pretty short purport. Struck with such great wonder, Vasudeva now concentrated his attention on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Understanding the influence of the Supreme Lord, he was surely fearless, since he understood that the Lord had appeared to give him protection. Gatabhi Prabhavavit. Understanding that the Supreme Personality of Godhead was present, he appropriately offered prayers as follows. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paschacha Deshtarine Om Agyana Timurandasi Ananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtang Stapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sopadatikam Vande Hung Sri Guru Sri Tapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavangsha Sri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raganatan Batam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Shakan Batangsha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina bandha jagat pate gopesha gopika kanta radha kanta namostate tapta kanchana gorangi radhe vrindavaneshwari rishabhanu sute devi pranamami hari priye vancho kopatrubhyasya kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaisavebhyo namo namaha jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shivasadi gaur bhaktavrinda hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama. So we say Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi. Radharani's complexion is this golden complexion, and so is Lord Chaitanya. So now we're seeing the appearance of much gold on the altar. Very appropriate. Very nice job done by our goldsmiths. Zlatar, right? Zlatar, the goldsmith. In Serbo Croatian, the goldsmith is Zlatar. So, I was remarking to Subhas that the more we do in decorating the temple, dressing the deities, the more you realize that they deserve it, and they deserve more and more. We should never think that now I've dressed the deities, they can't be dressed any better, or now I've decorated this temple, or built such a nice temple, nothing. But no, everything belongs to Krishna, everything should be used in a service, and we should always be in the mood of expanding, giving more and more, or at least maintaining, as Prabhupada said. If you can't expand this movement that I've given you, at least maintain it nicely. So every one of us is responsible for that. It's not just the responsibility of the head administrator. Every single person here. I notice we have our resident Swami. He just walked through the doors. I mentioned him. To this day, even though he's carrying a danda, he's now a Sri Dandi Sannyasi. Every time he sees some trash on the street, he picks it up, puts it in the... Every one of us can do that. We're not, you know... We're not so stratified by Varna and Ashram that this is Shudra work. The Shudra should come in. No, if you pass something in front of the temple, some trash, pick it up. Don't wait for the Shudra to come by and sweep. This is not the mentality of the devotees. In the devotee community, everybody can do everything and can be required to do anything at any time. I may have mentioned before, I remember I was living in the Potomac Temple for a few years. And we were in crisis management. There were only a handful of us, and we had to do everything. Now, Potomac is in that area where some winters can be very mild and some winters can be extremely heavy. So the few years that I was there, we had extremely heavy winters, and there's a driveway that goes down into the property. And it ices over, and if you don't get the ice, then when the members come to, you know, for the programs, they just go skidding all over the place. So literally, every one of us that lived there, we had to go out there with shovels and axes and break the ice and move it off the driveway if you want people to come to the Sunday feast program or come to the program on a daily basis. So, the point I'm making is that we should never have this mentality that I am a brahmana, this needs to be clean, somebody else should do it. No. No, we're all Krishna servants, regardless of our ashram or age or position or whatever. And whenever you see something, that was Prabhupada's mood also. Whenever some devotee would come to Prabhupada and say, you know, Prabhupada, I saw such and such and nobody did. Prabhupada said, why didn't you do it? Why are you telling me that nobody did it? Why didn't you do it? So it's very, very important to inculcate this mentality that all of us are responsible for maintaining this property, decorating the property, decorating the deities. Prabhupada said the person who grows the flower and picks the flower is just as important as the pujari who is offering the flower. So here, Vasudev is seeing Krishna. And he's getting ready to offer nice prayers to Krishna. Now, as has been mentioned in previous classes, Vasudeva and Devaki, this is not the first time around for Krishna appearing as their son. It's the third time, actually. It was Prishni and Sutapa, and they gave birth to Prishni Garba. And then there was Kashyapa Muni and Aditi, and they gave birth to Vamana. So this is the first time that he's actually appearing before them in his original form. Those other forms are expanded forms. Vamana Dev, Prishni Garba. But now he's going to appear before them in his original... He has appeared in his original form. First of all, he came out with the four-handed form, but then he displayed a two-handed form. Showing again that Ete Changsa Kala Pongsa Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam Indriyarya Vyakulam Lokam Mridayanti Yage Yage. This verse is there in the Bhagavatam, early first canto. That Ete Changsa Kala Pungsa Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. All of these other incarnations that were mentioned, because a whole list is mentioned there of various incarnations, all of them are expansions of Krishna. Krishna is the original supreme source of all of these expansions. Indriyari Vyakulam Lokam. And why does he appear? Interesting word here. Indriyari. Ari means enemy. So he appears to kill the enemies of Indra. In other words, Indra is supposed to be the chief sura, this chief demigod, the chief devotee, you could say, in the universe in terms of devotion to Krishna, surrender to Krishna, service to Krishna. But the opposite number is there. Dvaubhuta sargalo kesmin deva asura evacha. So Indra is supposed to be the leader of the suras, and then there are the asuras. Vishnu Bhakti Bhavats Daiva, Asura Yadva Paryaya. The Asuras are just opposed, the opposite number. They're opposed to worship of Krishna, service to Krishna. So Krishna appears on every planet, Indriyaya Vyakilam Lokam, Muridayanti Yuga Yuga. In every millennium, he appears on every planet to take care of this problem, to take care of the Asuras, those with demoniac mentality. So who's speaking here? It's today's verse. Keep track. You have to keep track so you know where you are, what's going on. Who's speaking? Who spoke today's verse? Who said? Shukadeva Goswami. Yes, Shukadeva Goswami is speaking. So he's going to recite prayers that are spoken by Vasudeva. So again, pointing out the fact that it's so important to hear these prayers of the great souls, the great devotees. Memorize them if possible. At least remember them. Try to remember them. Shukadeva Goswami himself spoke some very nice prayers back in the second canto, fourth chapter. Mentioned there. Very nice verses. He starts out, because we know this, we'll hear from Vasudeva's prayers, and we know this from the prayers of all the great souls like Kunti Devi. They always start out by explaining the Lord's position to him. And we discussed this a few classes back. Why would somebody explain the Lord's position to him? He knows himself. He knows what he is. He knows his greatness. He knows his glories. He knows what he's done. Why? For several reasons. One, to establish the fact that they know who they're talking to. That they know who they're speaking to. They're not falsely glorifying somebody else. Some personalities try to equate all demigods with Krishna, but no, these great souls, they know Krishna's position vis-a-vis the demigods and us. So they start out by glorifying the Lord in this way. So back in the second canto, Shukadeva Goswami himself spoke some prayers, chapter 4, which are, in my experience in ISKCON anyway, kind of neglected. You know, everybody tries to memorize Kunti's prayers and even Gajendra's prayers, and but hardly anybody tries to memorize Shukadeva's prayers, even though Prabhupada quite often recited several verses from those prayers. But he's just as Vasudeva will start out tomorrow glorifying the Lord, similarly, Shukadeva Goswami started out in the same vein. Namak parasmai purushaya bhuyase sat udbhavastana nirodha lilaya grihita shakti chutayaya dehinam antarbhavayanu palaksha vartmane. He said, let me offer my respectful obeisances to the personality of Godhead, who for the creation of this material world accepted the three modes of material nature. He is the complete whole residing in everyone, and his ways are inconceivable. So these two points have to be meditated upon. That Krishna is the complete whole, just as we said, everything emanates from him, and he resides in the body of everyone. So whenever we're dealing with anybody, whether devotee or non-devotee, we have to always be conscious of that fact that Krishna is there. He's inside the body, he's outside the body. He's witnessing everything. He's witnessing this particular interaction. And he's witnessing everything that goes on. He knows everything about that person, their past, their present, their future, and about us. So that helps us to get to this point, as Vasudeva is doing here, of fearlessness. When you realize that Krishna is involved in everything, Krishna is there when you're dealing with anyone, then you can become fearless. You're not so afraid. Otherwise, this material world is a fearful place. As we've seen recently, at any moment, anybody can go off and just want to destroy everything and everyone. Which is really, really indicative of the fact that the mode of ignorance is really rampant. It's just taken over. which is Kali Yuga. We know in Kali Yuga the modes of ignorance and passion become prominent, but as it goes on, even passion disappears, and it's just ignorance. I'm hurting. This is the mentality of an ignorant person. I'm hurting. I'm not happy. So somebody else, first of all, it's not my fault. This is the victim mentality. It's not my fault. If I'm not happy, if I didn't get the job that I wanted, if I don't have enough money, if I don't have this, that, it's not my fault. So somebody has to pay for this. Tonight in the mantra house, we're going to talk about the laws of karma. So this is something that has to be drilled in to the heads of everyone as early as possible, that they realize that, yes, it is my fault. It's my fault that I'm here in the material world in the first place, and whatever negative things happen to me, actually it's what I deserve. As devotees, we think we deserve even more than what happens to us. But even for the non-devotees, they should be taught that, yes, you put yourself in this situation voluntarily, came to this material world, and having been here for a very long time, you've done a lot of bad things. When people look into their genealogy, they want to find out that they were like, you know, great-great-grandson of some king in England, or, you know, some tribal leader from Africa or whatever. Nobody wants to know that they were Jack the Ripper, maybe. Maybe one of us sitting here was Jack the Ripper. Who knows? Or some other horrible personality from the past. But nobody wants to find that out. But you can rest assured, if we've been here in this material world as long as we have done a lot of horrible things. So when the karma comes, when the payback comes, when it's something good, you go out on Sankirtan and somebody gives you $1,000. It's happened. Some devotees have gotten $1,000 from some person on Sankirtan. Or even in ordinary life, some waiter, waitress, somebody gives them $1,000 tip. And it's like, whoa, you think, yeah, I deserve this. I've worked so hard my life. I deserve it. But when something bad comes along, somebody tries to punch you on Sankirtan, or even in ordinary life, you go around the corner and somebody takes an instant dislike to you and they want to knock your head off. You wonder, why? I didn't do anything. I don't deserve this. I'm a nice person. So we have to be trained to understand that the very fact that we're in this material world, first of all, we're here voluntarily, and that some class of so-called spiritualists, they don't accept this. They think that there's a class of soul that was never in the spiritual world, and they just always in the material world, and then they're given an opportunity to go to the spiritual world. That's not what Srila Prabhupada presented. Going back to home, back to Godhead, which means you were there, you were serving Krishna, you voluntarily turned away, you were put in this material world as a consequence, and now you're being given an opportunity to go back to the spiritual world. Again, it's another way of having a victim mentality. It's not my fault that I'm here. I've always been here. Krishna just put me here. No, it's your fault. Your fault. Your responsibility. Free will is always there. In the spiritual world, what to speak of? Of course, there's free will there. If there's no free will, then you're an automaton. Who wants to be an automaton? No wonder we don't want to go back. Because we figure when I'm back in God and I'm just a machine, yes, Krishna, yes, Krishna, what do you want, Krishna, yes, Krishna? No. We always have free will. And just as here in this material world, generally speaking, if we're sane, when we figure out how to make nice things happen, then we try to always make that nice thing happen again and again. And so that's natural. So when you're in the spiritual world, obviously nice things are going on all the time, so then naturally you want to stay. But by free will, you may want to experience something else. And then Krishna gives you that opportunity. Prabhupada used to liken it to the son of a very rich man. He could stay home and inherit everything and just be happy, but no, out of his own free will he leaves. He wants to experience the world, go away. So he goes away and he runs into all kinds of difficulty. And when you meet such a person, maybe even with amnesia, they don't remember who they are, where they came from, the best thing you can do for them is to remind them, hey, aren't you Warren Buffett's son? You know, your father has gazillion dollars. Why don't you go back home and live happily? So this is the mission of the pure devotees in the material world, to remind all of us that we are sons of Krishna, children of Krishna. We are meant for happy life, constant happy life, ever increasingly happy life in the spiritual world. Not to remain here where there's danger at every step. Danger at every step. And even if you don't get blown away by some nut who wakes up one day in a bad mood, you're going to die anyway. Death is a fact here. We experienced that recently. I mean, a few nights back, I was at home, it was, 11-something, and I saw the reflection of the red lights from the... So I came down to see what's going on, and Hari Venu's mom had been feeling some discomfort, and the ambulance came, took her. And apparently everything was checked out okay, so she came back home. And 2 days later, she passed away. Boom. So at any moment, we can leave, whether it's by some nut going postal or some sudden disease or accident or whatever. But every one of us will leave. Jatasihi dhruvam janma mrtasyacha. For everybody who has taken birth, death is certain. You can't avoid it. So, but we can come to this position of Vasudeva, of being fearless. Of being fearless. And so, by taking to this process of Krishna consciousness, that's one of the side benefits. We come to this point of fearlessness. In other words, one becomes self-realized. One comes to the Brahma-Bhuta platform, where one knows, factually, experiences factually, I'm not this body. This contraption, nice contraption for the most part, for most of us, we don't run into too many difficulties on a day-to-day basis, but gradually it wears down, or suddenly it wears down, it breaks, to remind us we're not this body. And the sooner we get to the Brahma-Bhuta platform, the better. Na shochati, na kangshati. One does not hanker, one does not lament. Because one knows fully everything belongs to Krishna. So Krishna can provide much more than we can receive, and Krishna can also take away even what you're trying to hold on to. This is Krishna's position. He's the supreme provider, can give everyone everything up to and including liberation, Mukunda, that's why he's known as Mukunda. And he's also the best taker away, that's why he's known as Hari. No matter what we try to hold on to in this world, Krishna can and will take it away. Eventually, he'll take away everything. So what should remain is our 100%, 100% devotion to Krishna, desire to serve Krishna at every moment in all circumstances. That should remain. That's what we can take away with us. That's what we're being trained to take away with us. If every single day we get up, we enthusiastically engage in devotional service to Krishna, then at the end of life, that's what we take with us, that enthusiasm for devotional service. If it's completely mature, then we go back to the spiritual world. But even if it's not, Chakdwan, how's it going? No. Yeah. Chakdwa sadharam charanam bhajamahariya. Bhajana pakvod na patet tato yadi. Yata krava abhadrabhud amushikim. Kovart apta bhajatam sadharmata. This is Narada Muni speaking to Vyasadeva. That even if we take to this devotional line in an immature state, and we don't really know what it's all about, we just feel attracted, we like the devotees, we like the chanting, we like the prasadam, we're curious, we come, we check it out. Just like we have somebody here who's going through that process right now, who's curious, who's come here to stay for some time. I didn't catch your name? Sage. Okay. So this happens, practically we all go through that. And sometimes in an immature stage, before we become fully realized, or before we become fully surrendered, we leave. So Narada Muni is saying there is no loss there. There is no loss, because whatever progress you've made is positive, eternal, it's not going to go away. Just on the opposite though, if you stay in the material world, and you become a successful, whatever, materialist, you know, singer, dancer, soccer player, whatever, some successful material occupation, it's all washed away at the time of death. You have made no progress. As a matter of fact, generally speaking, you go backwards, because the general tendency is that when you become successful in this material world, you misuse that success, inevitably, somewhere or other. The money, the fame, the whatever, it's misused. And even while alive, you're still not happy in spite of all that money, fame, just like this famous singer who just left recently, Prince, right? Had so much money, so much fame, but was practically existing on the strength of pharmaceuticals, taking these heavy, heavy drugs every day just to get by. So this is the nature of the material world. Nobody's happy here, no matter what they have materially. So we should really understand that. Because sometimes in an immature state again, when especially we go out preaching as immature preachers, and we actually become